Welcome and thanks for joining Deacon Ryan, the people's platform and community where like-minded people come together to gather, pray, and above all, share our love for both God and one another. That's Here with Deacon Ryan. Let's pray.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves and said to them on the way, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and at my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. The great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
My friends, what a journey our gospel took us on today. First, our Lord recounts to the apostles that he'll be condemned to death, but before so, he'll be mocked and scourged and crucified. He recounts this to them again because they're still not getting it. Then, in a denial of what Jesus just said moments ago, we have James and John's mom trying to backdoor negotiate some sort of privileged place for her sons. Fixed in that persistent belief that his kingdom meant the restoration of Israel and accompanying positions of earthly power. And finally, Jesus interprets what he meant in John's gospel when he said, "I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do." He describes the work he was given as being service to the people. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, buried amongst those words, we may be shocked to hear Jesus' exhortation, "Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave." Slave. It's a word that elicits or should elicit revulsion born of a society attuned to the suffering of so many of our brothers and sisters. And for those of you that may think that slavery is something historical, I invite you to travel the world, to let your eyes be opened to the present reality of many. When I lived abroad, many of the houses, they didn't have deadbolts. They had key locks on both sides of the door, the inside and the outside. One time when Ann and I were renting a house, I asked the realtor why this was, and the casual response was that it was so that you could lock your hired help into the house. When I asked what happened in case of a fire, the response was pretty much, who cares? Domestic helpers abroad often work 365 days a year. From the moment they wake up until the moment they go to bed, they suffer abuse at the hands of their employers, and they're often dismissed for the most trivial of reasons. I again was face to face with slavery when I worked in sex crimes, and I witnessed firsthand the ugly truth of human trafficking and how people can be viewed as nothing more than objects. Objects to be used and discarded at whim. I've seen this all personally, and I can attest that slavery is alive and well and ever so ugly. However, this form of slavery is not what Jesus is talking about here. Class-based slavery is not the form of slavery he's calling his disciples to. And so we have to, for a moment, set aside our contemporary understanding of it, of the word, of the institution, and instead enter into the meaning as Christ presents it. You see, Jesus' understanding of slavery in this context was radical. For Jesus, slavery is the voluntary renunciation of our claim to ourselves so that we can belong completely to God. It goes beyond just simply relying on God's providence. It means giving ourselves completely, everything about ourselves, our hopes, desires, our dreams, everything that we do, giving it all completely to Christ. And the voluntariness of this relationship is key in reinterpreting the typical master-slave dynamic. Christ's slavery is expressed, the power dynamic is expressed not in control, but in love. Rather than being owned as part of a system of subjugation, Jesus is calling us to be owned by Him, by His mission. His mission as He journeys to the cross, and a mission that He exhorts us to follow. The slavery that Christ is calling us to is not simply a matter of being, it's a matter of doing. Being a slave is an action, and Jesus demonstrates this by emptying Himself, by condescending Himself, by taking on the form of a slave, and then through to His ultimate act of service, His death on the cross. In John's Gospel, He tells us, "For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are no greater than their master. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." As slaves of Jesus Christ, we are called to follow His example. And so, my friends, this Lent, while we are likely not called to be crucified as Christ was crucified, we're called to model His slavery, His service to us. And one of the ways that we can model that is by performing spiritual and corporal acts of mercy, just as He did for us. Let's bear the wrongs committed against us patiently. Let's comfort the afflicted. Let's feed the hungry. Visit the sick. And let's certainly not turn a blind eye to those modern captives, those modern slaves who are in need of liberation. Lent is not just about us and our own personal journey. For if we follow what Lent is supposed to do, if we turn away from sin and turn back to Christ, then we are also turning towards the Christ that we see in those whom we are called to serve.
Thanks once again for taking the time to join Deacon Ryan, the People's Platform and Community, where like-minded people come together to gather, pray, and above all, share our love for both God and one another. That's Here with Deacon Ryan.